Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. How would you like that? can you just picture that? I can just picture this offering plate or whatever they were putting their offerings in, and Jesus was just kind of observing. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray that you would speak to our hearts about this difficult topic, that you would speak to our hearts in power and authority. Father, may it be your words and not my words. Convict our hearts. Transform us, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I told you last week, today and next week, we'll be preaching on stewardship, my favorite topic. We'll get into that here in just a second, and yours too, I'm sure. Today's sermon is entitled Courageous Giving. Courageous Giving. That's the title of the series, and today's message is The Triple Dog Dare. And you'll understand more about that in just a little while. Anybody feel like there's an elephant in the room? I always feel like there's a big elephant in the room when I preach on this topic. And I believe the elephant, there's two pieces of the elephant. And the number one is many of you don't want to hear a sermon on giving. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, I don't want to give a sermon on giving. So I want to get that kind of out front at first. And I was praying about those two questions. The question of why. Why do you not want to hear a sermon on giving, and why do I not want to give it? And I was asking the Lord to show me that, and I think he did. Let me start with me. This is confession time. I think I don't like giving a sermon on giving because I know many of you don't like it. And I, at the core of who I am, is I'm a people pleaser. I want people to like me. Now, I want to call myself out on this and say to you, that's sin. That's sin. When I care more about what you think of me than being obedient to my Heavenly Father, that's sin. And I confess that. I've already confessed that to the Lord, and I confess that to you today. And I pray that you'll forgive me for that. Now, you're not off the hook. What's going on with you out there? Maybe I won't put it, maybe not all of us, but many of us don't like hearing. And I believe at the core of that, I believe the Lord spoke to me, and the core of that is fear. We're afraid. We're afraid perhaps that maybe I might say something that might convict you to actually tithe, actually give, when you've never done that. We're afraid that if we give, that perhaps God, he talks a good game, but perhaps God is really not as faithful as we would hope. It's like, if I give that, I'm just afraid there won't be enough left for me. So, now, I'm not telling you that everybody out there that's where you're at. I'm just saying, if that's where you're at, just like mine is sin, that's sin. You know, this issue of money, as much as I hate talking about it, Jesus talked about it all the time. He talked about it all the time. Why did Jesus talk about it all the time? Because he understood that the importance of this topic, because it could somehow replace the throne that he should be on, somehow stuff and money could replace him. Did you know that there's 800 scriptures in the Bible that deal with money? Roughly, I'm rounding, around 800 scriptures. Jesus talked about money more than he did heaven and hell combined. Did you know that? I mean, we think heaven and hell, that's pretty significant stuff. We probably ought to know about that. Jesus talked about money more than he did that. He talked about more money more than anything else he did in the scripture except the kingdom of God. It's the only topic that Jesus talked about more. 11 of the 39 of Jesus' parables, I'm going to say that again, 11 of the 39 were all regarded money. Jesus obviously saw some significance to this thing, to this topic. I didn't even actually count these up. I've read this in numerous places. One of every 7 verses in the Gospel of Luke talks about money. I know some of you are going to go home and like read 1, 2, 3, 4. I hope you do. Let me know what you find out. But that's what I read in many places, that one of every 7 verses in the Gospel of Luke talks about money. Did you know our 10 commandments, the first ones deal with loving God, and the second ones deal with being God's people and loving people. We've talked about that. Where can you find the 10 commandments? How do you know? Anybody remember? Hold up your hands. It's the fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy, 5th chapter. It's also in another place in Exodus, but that's the easier place to remember. It's fifth book, 5th chapter. The last commandment, the 10th commandment, is you shall not covet. So God thought it was important enough to put it in one of the big 10. You know, there's a lot of important things on there. You know, you shouldn't kill people and you shouldn't lie and honor God and the Sabbath and all these important things. And then don't covet. Obviously, God thinks this is a pretty important topic. And he believes it's important because he wants the number one place in our hearts. He wants the number one place in our hearts. And he knows that the love of money can knock him off of that place. That's it. It's pretty simple, church. In the Old Testament, they may have struggled with graven images, idols, and all. We struggle with stuff, don't we? We struggle with the love of stuff. In our culture, Cheryl and I were talking about this week, the superficiality of our culture. I mean, and please don't, ladies, if you do manicures and all that, please don't. I'm not slamming you or anything. But I mean, just think, the money we spend on those kinds of massages and manicures and pedicures and doing our hair, I've spent tons of money keeping my hair looking like this. It's exhausting. I want to talk about two words as we enter into this sermon series. The first is tithe, and you heard me talking to the kids. A tithe is a biblical principle, and there's many places. I can give you hundreds of scripture that talk about the tithe and so forth. But there's a difference between tithes and offerings. Sometimes when Jody comes up to pray, he may say something like, if the ushers would come forward as we collect our tithes and offerings. Did you know that's two different things? A tithe is, the biblical principle is that when we receive something, a harvest, whether it's finances or in biblical days, maybe if you're a farmer, it's like, you know, you receive a crop. God's biblical principle, the tithe, is that a tenth of the first fruits of whatever we get goes to God. Now, he doesn't force us to like the government. It's not like a taxation. It's like, you know, it is something that God, and I'll just say it, God expects it. God expects it. He's saying, if you're my children, the tithe is the first fruits, the tenth of what I bless you with. And it's like the children this morning, they didn't have anything. I got 4 lifesavers when I passed the plate. But when I because it's just the kind of guy I am, out of the goodness of my heart, gave them 10 nickels. Suddenly they had something. They had been gifted with something. And then when I passed the plate again, they had a choice. Now, I don't know if you were watching, but it was interesting to see the different reactions as the plate went by after they had their nickels. I mean, one little kid, and I don't even remember who it was like looking in that sack, like, ugh, ah. It was painful. Did you see it? Like, oh, I want to. It was painful. But 30 seconds earlier, they didn't have anything. They didn't have those 10 nickels, but suddenly it was painful to give one up. And then there were some other kids that wanted to show me how great, how much they love Jesus, and they got more than one, and they're like holding them up here. Click, 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 click. You think that's how what Jesus was seen when the rich people were going by? They threw their chest out and go, click, 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 just like that. Aren't we funny? Aren't we funny with our stuff? So a tithe is the first fruits of what God has blessed us with. It's not a tax. It's not required. It's just God does expect it, though. And then an offering is something that just out of our abundance and out of our abundance of our blessings, that beyond the tithe, that we just say, you know what? I want to give more. I want to give more. God has blessed me with so much. I got everything I need, and I just want to give more. I want to give beyond what God is asking from me. That's an offering. I've asked Naomi Wood and I. Naomi, come on up. Corey, awesome. Corey is coming with her. Great. I wasn't sure if Corey was going to come up. Corey and Naomi Wood, great family in our church. I even love Corey. And Naomi actually is our bookkeeper and financial person in the church. She had some words to share. And I think as far as their family goes, I think Corey did as well. So y'all go ahead.
I don't know if Corey's sharing words. He's going to support me as a family effort here because he helped me prepare what we were going to say. I don't know why I get so nervous, because I really know that none of you are going to throw tomatoes at me or anything, but I have to take a deep breath. As the financial officer here, I can tell you the first thing I wanted to say is that we have an amazing group of just generous and faithful givers at our church. It amazes me every day. It's not really fair that you all don't get to see what I see from my perspective, because you might see it in the bulletin or like in the quarterly letter, and you see things about what we do, you know, Vacation Bible School, or we've helped with this mission, but you don't get to see it the way I see it, because I see your generosity, I see your gifts come in, and then I get to see the blessing that our church is to others through that. And that is such a blessing to me to get to see it. I see it on a day-to-day basis, and so I write the checks, so I get to see where I'm writing checks to, and really nobody else gets to see that. So I kind of made a list of some of the things that I write checks for. Missions, mission projects, missionaries. I write checks to organizations who provide care, to organizations that bless others, that help others. I write checks to Feed the Hungry here in Abilene and other places. I write checks to Grow Disciples. I write checks to evangelize. I write checks to spread God's word. I get to see that we write checks to support the spiritual growth of children, of youth, of adults. I see that we help families that are in distress, families that need help. The list goes on and on and on, and it's just blessings that we pour out from this church, from this body of believers. And I feel like I'm the only one who gets to see it, and it's so amazing. But you make that possible. God uses your faithfulness in ways that I wish that you could see day to day like I do, because every day I'm reminded what a blessing we are to other people, and I think it's just such a gift. And the second thing that I'm here to talk about is on a more personal level. I was sharing with Jeff just a personal family story about our giving that we've kind of experienced recently. As a family, we've been convicted and challenged many times on our giving journey. I say it's been a journey for us because we'll do something, and it seems like every time we kind of get comfortable with where we're at giving, then we get stretched a little bit, or you know, something changes, and it's good to be stretched, we've discovered. We know that it's good to be stretched. Through those things, we've recognized that the opportunity to give is a blessing. It's a blessing to us more than anything. So not long ago, we donated to a cause. It was a cause that was laid on our hearts, and we donated over and above what we budget for giving, but it was something that was special to us. And when we gave the gift, we were joyful. We were excited about it. It was so cool. We were just thrilled that we would get to be a part of that cause. So after we gave the gift, in the last couple months, we've had some unexpected bills. This, you know how everyone knows how that goes. Unexpected bills. We had a heater go out at our house. We had to get new tires on a car. Just lots of things that built up. And we keep watching our savings account go down and down and down. And then so we got to a point where we were feeling frustrated. And you start to question, should we have given that gift? I mean, if we hadn't given it, we'd have more in our savings account, and we wouldn't feel so stretched right now. And, you know, sometimes it's easy to think, well, maybe we should just take a little bit away from what we're giving right now till we recover a little bit and till our savings account recovers a little bit. But I just became really convicted through that frustration. I was praying about it, and I just became really convicted that we were under attack. And I told Corey, we're under attack. God's telling me that Satan is beating us up because he wants to take the joy away from this gift. He wants to make us down and not excited anymore. And he wants to make us regret that we did it. And I don't want him to win that battle. I want to be joyful about it like we were when we gave it, because we really were excited about it. And I think it should stay that way. And so we made a concerted effort. We prayed about it. We both began to pray about it against that attack. That he would not be successful in that. And so while Corey was praying about it one day, he came to me after he was praying, and he said, I felt God put a number on my heart. And he said, I knew right away what it is. And he said, it's the amount that we're being called to give right now. And so we're changing what we're giving. And the end of the story remains to be told, because we're just now doing this. This is a very recent event. But the Lord's never let us down when we've been challenged before. Like I said, he's challenged us before in the past, and he's always been faithful, and we're so blessed, and we do have everything we need. And so we're confident that he's going to be faithful, and the trust that we put in him. And so I was going to close with a Bible verse, and I found it really interesting because I already had this verse on my heart, and then in the bulletin on the back, it had the verse leading up to this. So the one in the bulletin says, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, and it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. But I was going to share verse 7. It was on my heart. And each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thanks, Corey and Naomi. You know, the widow in the text today, she was a courageous giver. That's the title of this sermon series, Courageous Giver. She gave everything that she had. She wasn't looking at let's see, I had a funny story of a pastor friend of mine. No pastor likes preaching on money, by the way, but a pastor friend of mine came up and he said he had this family that came up to him and said, which are we supposed to tithe on, our net or our gross? I know, don't be laughing. I know some of y'all are thinking that same question. And you know what he said? I love his answer. He said, pick one. Just pick one. You know, but anyway, she wasn't worried about you know, she didn't have her calculator and you know, like, let's see, these two coins and they're worth, you know, this and here's how much I get. She loved Jesus and she just gave it all. And that's the heart that God wants from us. He's not worried about the amount. He just wants our heart. So as we talk about this idea of being a courageous giver, what that means to us, I want us to look at some points here. And the first one is that courageous giving draws me closer to God. Draws me closer to God. And I think Corey and Naomi's story is a great story. How when we give, there's a blessing that comes back from that. And Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." And so if we treasure stuff. I was reading an article this past week, and it talked about these people who hit the lottery and all that, and it's like, or make a lot of money, and it's like, it's never enough. I mean, the more money we get, the more money we want, and so that's because, in that case, money is our treasure. And so this passage is saying that where your treasure is, there your heart is also. I want my treasure to be Jesus Christ. That's where I want my treasure to be, and that's where it is. And I'm not saying that I'm you know, just this wonderful giver and all that. I'm just saying that Jesus is my treasure. He has my heart, and I hope he has my finances as well. Second thing is, courageous giving is the key to a full life. Jesus said, another translation there is abundant life. Jesus said that he had come to give us a full life, abundant life. Now listen to this. I just preached a sermon series on 2 Timothy where Paul was writing to his protege Timothy. But 1 Timothy 6 says this: "Command those," Paul speaking to Timothy, "command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth." Is our hope in wealth? Is our hope in our stuff? "Which is so uncertain," Paul says. "But put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age." Listen to this. "So that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. The same thing Jesus said. He said, "I've come to give you abundant life. You want to have abundant life, make me your treasure. Make me your treasure." Third thing, courageous giving makes me happy, happy, happy. I'm sorry. I'm a Duck Dynasty boy. I can't get away from it. I'm sorry. Courageous giving makes me happy, happy, happy. And Acts 20 says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" You want to, and I just know in my own experience that it's harder for me to receive. I've been in different stages of my life where there's been times where Cheryl and I didn't have two nickels to rub together, and we were relying on the goodness and the abundance of God through his people to love on us and to help us through tough times. So I've been in that receiving mode, and let me tell you, it's a lot more fun to be in the giving mode. Sometimes, but there's a season that we all go through, different seasons. Sometimes we're in the season of receiving, and sometimes we're in the season of giving. But when we are able to give, man, we are blessed through that. And it does lead to abundant life. Fourth thing, courageous giving reminds me that it's all God's anyway. Generous, courageous giving reminds me that it's all God's anyway. Deuteronomy 8, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." And we forget that. We think, It's my stuff. And again, the children, I love the children because so much is played out right in front of us with children. They don't hide anything. And I love that they don't have any money and I give them 10 nickels and how difficult it is suddenly to part with any of those nickels. But to remember that it helps us to remember. It's like, I didn't have this. The only reason I have this is because he gave it to me. Reminds us that it's all God's anyway. All right, I'm feeling radical and crazy. I've been thinking and praying through this for a while. Here's something that I've talked with a few folks, and I've talked with Naomi about this, so she won't be freaked out when this happens. I just believe that God would challenge us and say, trust me. And so there's going to be a challenge that I'm going to say in these next couple of weeks, and really for any time in the future. I challenge you to give whatever it is that God has laid on your heart to give, and mark on the check or mark on the envelope and just say, hold for 30 days. And that's exactly what Naomi and Ken will do in our financial office. Any gift that's marked that way, we're going to hold it 30 days. And if God doesn't come through, I just want, in my own personal life, and I'm going to share about some of that in a minute, but in my own personal life, God is faithful. God is faithful to His word. If God doesn't come through, call me, call Naomi, and say, tear up the check. It didn't work out. We will hold it and allow God to show you His faithfulness. Now, you may think that sounds maybe even non-scriptural. Well, let's move on to point five. Courageous giving blesses me in return. I want to read to you a little passage. It's in your handout there out of Malachi. I want to set it up a little bit. The God's people, the nation of Israel, had, you know, he just blessed them. You know, the pattern that we see throughout the Old Testament is, God blesses, the people are appreciative, then they slowly fall into sin, and then they go in that period, and God withdraws His blessing, and then they repent, and God restores His blessing, and then it's just this constant cycle of blessing, sin, repentance, and blessing, sin, and repentance. It's just this constant cycle. Well, this is a Malachi. We're picking up in chapter 3 here that we were in a cycle where the people were not being faithful to God. And listen to what God says. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I want to, as we talk about that concept, I couldn't help myself with this clip. I have to show this clip from A Christmas Story. If you haven't seen A Christmas Story, you need to watch it. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. And there's a scene here, these two little boys, or these group of boys. Go ahead, Artis.
In this ritual is very important.
Are you kidding? Stick my tongue to that stupid pole, that's dumb.
That's cause you know it'll stick.
You're full of it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like double dog dare ya.
Now it was serious. A double dog dare. What else was left but a triple dare you? And finally, the coup de grace of all dares, the sinister triple
really
dog
dumb.
Dare.
I triple dog dare ya.
Schwartz created a slight breach of etiquette by skipping the triple dare and going right for the throat.
All right, all right. Come on, Karen.
Do it.
I'm going.
Flick's spine stiffened. His lips curled in a defiant sneer. There was no going back now.
This is nuts. Duck? 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 Duck?
I want to tell you that those boys were not trustworthy. Then when they triple dog dared him to stick his tongue to the pole, they were not trustworthy. But that, I know it's silly, but I'm a silly guy. When I'm reading this passage, what God is telling the nation of Israel, he's saying to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. And what I'm hearing God say is, I triple dog dare you to trust me. I triple dog dare you to trust me. A few years ago, and y'all heard, if you've been here very long, you've heard a lot of my testimony about going into the ministry, but I was in the computer business for 20 years, and Cheryl and I felt a leading to, through many, many months of prayer, and felt a leading to go in the ministry, and through circumstances, quit my job, and thought that thank God was going to just start flooding, opening all these doors and flooding us with opportunity and all of that, and it just wasn't happening. And that crisis of faith, Naomi, that you talked about, just, was, we were just kind of, our savings were being drained, and I had people calling me irresponsible and just thinking, and that's tough on a people pleaser, by the way, when people think that you're being a bad dad and a bad husband, a bad provider. But yet we knew that we had been called by God, and we knew that he would be faithful. But I'm telling you, after a while, and as that savings account worked its way down and started wondering how are we going to make it, my faith was shaken a little bit. And I remember that I took a job with a bank as their IT guy. And it was a good job. And it was really just out of fear and panic, to be quite honest with you, that I took this job. And I just thought, well, God, you're not doing what you said you'd do, so I guess I better take matters back into my own hands and get a job again. And so I took this computer job, and I went to the job the first day, and they introduced me, took me all over these different branches I'd be taking care of their computers on, and everybody was really nice and great and all that. And I got home, and Cheryl said, how was your day? And I said, it's fine. I said, but I can't describe it. I just had this is a very theological word, this yucky feeling. All day. It's there. Look it up. And I just felt just this emptiness in the pit of my gut all day long. And she said, I've been feeling the same thing all day. And we knew what God was saying is, you're not trusting me. You're not trusting me. I told you I would come through, and I will come through. And so I made a phone call to my manager that night, my manager of one day. And I said, I'm going to resign. And I said, I'd rather do this now than in 6 months after you've got me all trained and everything. And I'd rather just after one day just do this. And we tease now. I guess I tease when I pass by that one of those bank buildings. I always tell Cheryl, I worked there for a day. Shortly thereafter, God brought me to Wiley Methodist Church. He was faithful through you in my life. God is good for his word. He says, trust me in this. Test me in this. Just see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. So I challenge you, and I believe God is challenging us to trust him. And perhaps you're a faithful giver, and perhaps you've been a faithful giver for many years, and I would tell you that God is pleased with that. But I would also challenge each of us to take another look at what we are giving, to see what God would have us to do with our finances. Because there's tithes and there's offerings. Perhaps we're not doing either one. I would just ask you to seek the Lord. Don't listen to me. Seek the Lord. Ask him what he would have you do in your personal finances. If you'd just bow your heads with me for just a second. Father, we confess to you, we don't like talking about this. We don't like hearing about it. And Father, I know that that's because there's something in our heart that's attached to our stuff. And I just pray that you forgive us of that. Father, you don't need our money. You don't need our money to be God. But you desire our heart. You desire our heart. Father, so even if we don't respond with our finances, I pray that you have our heart. That we would give our heart to you fully. And not compartmentalize which parts we give you and which parts we hold back. Father, we're listening to your word. We're seeing your word where you said, test me. And so we're testing you, Father. You don't say, test me about my salvation or test me about any forgiveness or any of those things. But when it comes to our faithfulness with our finances, you say, test me in this. So come, Holy Spirit, and move in our hearts. May you be number one. Father, I thank you for the blessing and the abundance that you have poured out on Wylie United Methodist Church. God, I pray that we would be a faithful church, that we'd be a faithful people, that we'd be about your business, we'd be about your kingdom, and we would love people on your behalf. Help us to be that kind of church. In Jesus' name, amen. You stand as we close. If Jesus Christ is not number one in your heart, not have him in your heart, I invite you to come and visit with me because he's yearning to be number one in your life and in your heart.
He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. So
treasure is, there your heart is also. I just pray that Jesus is your treasure. Go and be blessed. I want to ask if Megan and Jeremy, if y'all would come forward here in just a minute and allow people, if they want to have any questions for you after the service, be blessed. Go and tell someone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus Messiah. Blessed Redeemer.